From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to study the book of Joshua, bringing the next portion of a message called Help in Trouble. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Obedience Brings Blessing. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Though salvation is not by the works of the law, yet the blessings which are promised to obedience are not denied to the faithful servants of God. The curses our Lord took away when He was made a curse for us, but no clause of blessing has been abrogated. We are to note and listen to the revealed will of the Lord, giving our attention not to portions of it, but to all these words. There must be no picking and choosing, but an impartial respect to all that God has commanded. This is the road of blessedness for the Father and for His children. The Lord's blessing is upon His chosen to the third and fourth generation. If they walk uprightly before Him, He will make all men know that they are a seed which the Lord has blessed. No blessing can come to us or ours through dishonesty or double dealing. The ways of worldly conformity and unholiness cannot bring good to us or ours. It will go well with us when we go well before God. If integrity does not make us prosper, knavery will not. That which gives pleasure to God will bring pleasure to us.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. In His hands He holds the power of creation. With His voice He spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him. As I humbly seek his face and
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it.
Thank you.
In chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, we read of Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, who had gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war upon the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. Upon learning of this threat, the Gibeonites immediately sent to Joshua to come and help them. Dr. Cairns is drawing a spiritual parallel between the wrath of those heathen people against the Gibeonites and the hatred of the world for those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as a person lives like the rest of the world, there's no problem. But as soon as one comes to Christ and tries to live a godly life, the opposition of the unsaved begins to rage against him, for the world both hates and fears godliness. As the pagan Canaanites sought to dispossess Joshua of his conquests, so the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly trying to rob Christians of spiritual victory. Yet the passage also shows that the resources available were sufficient to protect Gibeon, even as Christ's resources are more than adequate to guarantee victory for his people. Now to continue this message, Help in Trouble, here is Dr. Cairns.
You've heard me mention the works of a Methodist minister in England in the 1940s, 1930s and 40s, G.E. Dempster. If you want to pick up any of his books, you'll have to get them secondhand because I have not seen anything republished of them in recent years. Dempster was a Methodist minister in London with a great heart for people. The stories are just absolutely amazing. He tells the story of a man who was about to commit suicide, throw himself into the River Thames. On this foggy night, Dempster, who dressed himself very often as the down-and-outs, the homeless of their day, if you want. These were days of awful depression. And in the fog, he said to the man, "It's not worth it, mate." He got him to come down, and the man turned and cursed at him. He invited him along to the meeting, and he cursed him even harder. They found out the reason. That night, as that man had been contemplating death, he heard the peal of a church bell. And God spoke to his heart. And shrouded in a London fog, on the edge of an eternity of hell, he felt the voice of God. And the thought came, perhaps there's hope for even me. His mind went back to the home that he had left, for he had not always been a down and out. He'd been in the upper classes of society. He's a very accomplished man, wrecked by booze and wickedness. He thought of a little daughter who had learned to pray, of a wife who prayed, and he thought it was all hopeless until that church bell was like a message from heaven. So he turned and he went into the church. And as he got in through the front door, a very well-dressed usher met him, put his arm around his shoulder, turned him around, and said, "We're very respectable here. I think you should find another church." I can understand why when Dempster came, the man cursed at him, that all preachers are hypocrites, that all churches are hypocritical. Of course, it's not true. But God had not finished with him. And thank God that night, Dempster saw him in his meeting and led him to Christ. How often, when God does a work in a man's heart, he finds the treatment that the blind man to whom the Savior gave sight found excluded from the synagogue. The same thing happened, didn't it, to the early church? Pentecost was followed by persecution. Paul and Barnabas went so far as to say that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I think it's vital that Christians understand and realize that the world hates them, and the world aims to destroy them. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Now, any time you have this injunction in Scripture to be sober, any time you're being directed to sobriety, it's not saying stay off alcohol. That's very good advice, mind you, but that's not what it's saying. It's talking about the way you think. Think straight. Get this clearly in your mind. Don't be fooled. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. To listen to some preachers nowadays, you would think that the devil had declared a truce in his war against Christ and the church. It's one of the great themes of modern evangelicalism, that they are going to redeem the culture. They're going to redeem even Hollywood. I think that's a bigger miracle than giving sight to somebody born blind or raising the dead. They're going to redeem the culture. As if there were a great truce in the battle. But let us think straight. The world hasn't changed. The devil hasn't changed. The powers of apostasy haven't changed. They're certainly roaring their defiance and their hatred. Sometimes the enemy tries to devour God's people physically, to make them martyrs. The history of the Church of Christ has the longest river in the world. It has the river of the blood of the martyrs running through 2 millennia now. This century in which we live, far from being one of the better, is one of the worst. This is a century in which millions, literally millions, of God's believing people have been done to death. There are times, of course, when the devil and the powers of hell seem to be incapable of inflicting that kind of punishment, so they attack spiritually. And it's spiritual shipwreck that is the great danger that it now confronts most of us. Spiritual shipwreck. When you look around the churches, look even across this congregation this morning, look in your own heart. How many Christians, even at this moment, are in danger of making shipwreck? How many? What about your life? Oh, this is a real battle. When you look at Joshua 10, you can learn the strategy of the enemy. They came up against the walled city of Gibeon. What were they doing? They were making a concentrated attack on Gibeon's defenses. That's where the devil starts. He starts opposing and battering at the things which give God's people particular defense. In other words, he batters at our separation. He hammers away at the wall that divides the Christian from the enemy. Now, the Gibeonites had no difficulty seeing that every thrust of Adonai Zedek was meant for their destruction. It was meant to pierce their defenses. However, so often Christians don't have as much sense. So often Christians fail to recognize Satan's attacks. Now, here's a very good and very simple rule of life. Anything that destroys our separation from the world is a ploy of the enemy. And it lays us open to further devastating ravages. Anything that destroys our separation from the world is not of God, it is of the devil. Now that's a very simple and sweeping statement. Sometimes we can bamboozle ourselves with all sorts of intricate theories when God's Word is very simple on it. Let us look at our own lives. Let's look at the things that we have to deal with. Do they separate us from the world, or do they separate us from God? Do they put distance between us and the Lord? Do they weaken our love for the Lord? Do they weaken our stand for the Lord? Those are simple questions. And in most cases, they provide simple answers. Well, you've got an answer clear and plain. Understand what puts between the Christian and his God is a ploy of the devil. You look at this passage, you not only see that strategy, but you learn the strength of the enemy's attack. Because it's a combination of all the forces that are likely to bring about our downfall. The devil attacks on all fronts, the world attacks, the flesh attacks. You've got this combination on all fronts, attacking our faith, our fidelity to Christ, our assurance, our joy, our peace. Attacking our Bible reading, attacking our praying, attacking our family life, attacking our fellowship with the people of God, attacking our unity in the Spirit, attacking the bond that ought to bind the people of God together in Christ-like love, attacking our burden for souls, our evangelism, our outreach, our vision. There's an attack on all fronts. Now, the enemy may seek to deceive us into submission, or he may seek to bludgeon us into submission. He'll use any weapon, any person, any situation. And he has a formidable array of forces at his command. The Savior warned us sometimes the enemy uses our own family. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's one of the hardest things in life to bear. Think of a young woman in Belfast many years ago who came to know Christ. She lived in a strongly Protestant part of the city of Belfast, surrounded by people who proclaimed that they were Protestants. Her family was Protestant. Her family was heathen. As a 16-year-old girl, she was told, "You either renounce this religion or you remove yourself from this home." 16. Abandoned to the world, as far as her parents were concerned. A man's foes will often be those of his own household. Sometimes the enemy uses our own flesh. James reminds us that every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. The devil uses our flesh. Now in all this he has very, very particular but very extensive aims. I haven't time to pursue them, but I want you to understand what this is all about. The rage of the world and the flesh and the devil is to dispossess the Savior of his conquest. Joshua had laid hold, even though it was through peace, he had laid hold of Gibeon. Gibeon was now among the Israelites. Gibeon belonged to the kingdom. And the enemy sought to dispossess Joshua of his conquests. Sought to dissuade others from submitting to him. And sought to derail the progress of the people of God. And those are the extensive aims that the enemy has in mind as the world and the flesh and the devil would amalgamate against those who are reconciled to God, to turn us away from the Savior, to break the rule of grace in our lives, to turn others away from the Savior. You stop to think of it, you know. And you're a Christian. Humanly speaking, there's a lot depending on your going on with God. A lot depends on it. It's not just your own spiritual well-being. That's important. But there's the well-being of others. This is something that every preacher has to keep in mind. And I fear that sometimes preachers don't do it. This is one of the reasons you have the calamitous falls. Every man who stands behind this desk is going to be a particular target of the most virulent hatred and attack of hell. Without any trace of personal arrogance, as a preacher I can say, and I have to say and I have to keep in mind, if some attender or some member of this church is found to fall into sin, it would not do good to the cause. But this church can live through it. But if this preacher falls into sin, the devil has in his hand a weapon to wreck many lives.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.